Grow My Cleaning Company teaches owners of cleaning companies just like you how to grow your company, make more money, and finally take charge of your financial future and your life. This podcast is about automating and creating systems that give you time and money freedom so you can grow like crazy without losing control. Since this is totally free, if you're getting tons of value, want to support us and make sure that you get more of the good stuff, subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast today. Now, on to the show. Hey, Clean Nation, good to have you. You may notice the fine-looking couple to the right of me if you are on video or watching us live, joining us live. Welcome all you live folks. This is Bob and Terry Smith. They are part of our elite group. I've been hanging out with them, feels like 6 or 7 weeks. Am I close at all?
All right.
Yeah.
All right. And just honestly, they have a cool story because they, and I'll let them tell. Why don't you guys tell your story? I'll ask a bunch of questions. We'll have fun and call it a day. So tell us your background as opposed to me trying to put words in your mouth.
Well, actually we bought, I grew up in the cleaning industry. My parents owned several janitorial companies, and the current one is been around for 31 years, and about 12 years ago, we purchased it from them so that they could retire. So we have been the current owners. Actually, that's how we met. I mean, friends, was working together.
So hold on. Now this is new. I was kind of tuning out for the first part. I'm like, yeah, I heard it all before. Now I'm in. Cleaning Nation needs to know. How did that work out?
Well, we were teenagers and we were friends before then, but I hired him I was a supervisor when I was 16, and I hired him and we kind of became better friends.
Super scandalous. So Bob's like,
and now we're friends with benefits.
Yeah.
Actually, we just celebrated 38 years, so I guess
on Friday. So
that is married. A hell of a benefit.
Married 38 years.
Yeah. That is congrats. Yeah, not just celebrating 38 years of, yeah, of life, but 38 years of life together. That is awesome. That is really, really cool. I love that story. So cool. I think that's great. Makes me and my wife's little 10-year anniversary. Please come on. We hardly even met. Like, we could go on the newlywed games compared to you guys. So I mean, you guys, no offense, you can't be that old. Like, you must have been like kind of out of high school kind of a situation, no?
We met each other in the church youth group at 14.
My gosh, that's the best.
And we're almost 60, so.
One of you looks great. I'm not going to say which.
Obviously, it's not me.
And I'm older.
Well, that is awesome. I know, obviously, people tune in and everything for the business stuff. We're going to get right to that. But I really feel like the goal of what we do is not just help people make more money or save time or all that, but to enhance their lives. So I love hearing owners of cleaning companies' lives and how this is able to hopefully make your life better, this business. And man, 38 years, kids, grandkids, what do we got going on over there?
Yep. Kids and grandkids.
All right. Well, yep. For all of you guys,
5 grandchildren.
Holy heck. 2 fertile daughters, it sounds like.
Yeah.
So anyone that is logging into listen to the podcast, if you go to growmycleaningcompany.com, we'll throw on, if you guys want to send a picture of you and your family, we'll put that up so everyone can kind of get to know the Bob and Terry story. So that's awesome. So how long ago did you say you bought the business again?
12 years now.
Okay, perfect. And in my mind, it was more recently, but, my mind is like not a steel trap, whatever the opposite of that would be, like a donut, maybe with some sugar on it. I'd love to hear how did you guys find us? That's always I like hearing the before, the middle, and then ideally some after to give some folks, you know, what's worked out well for you. How did we connect?
Go ahead. You tell how we connected. Sorry.
For everyone not watching the video, Terry's lost interest completely and she just left. She's like, I thought this was going to be better. This is not what I wanted. I'm out. So it's just Bob.
Sorry. We had some interference coming in. She was just getting rid of it. So,
is that what you call your children as well? Interference? Because that's what I call my 4-year-old sometimes.
Squirrel. What was the question again? I'm sorry.
So, how did we connect? How did our cross pass? What was your kind of life like before?
Yeah,
what made you reach out? All that.
Like probably most business owners, whether they're new or they've been around a while, we're always looking to improve efficiency and productivity and obviously solve our pain. And we had plenty of that. Even though it's an old company, it had been kind of run, like kind of prehistoric, you know, very old school.
Not and just old, prehistoric. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, so when we got involved in it, we had to remodel the company, so to speak. And we realized that we needed to change a lot of things. And we got rid of a lot of the basic stuff, like ghost employees and, you know, all the stealing that was going on and people, you know, playing games like that. But we didn't, like, just in the last few years, I realized we have a real problem here with just automation and you know, getting customer acquisition and employee hiring. We could keep employees once we got them. So I think there was something about our culture, whether we meant to do it or not, was not too bad. But at the same time, we knew we needed help. And I did a lot of research, and obviously, like most people, probably listened to your podcast and kind of grew to trust, know, like, and trust you, I guess. And we moved to the next stage and talked to one of the coaches, to enrollment coaches, and then kind of brought us into the program.
So first of all, it's one of my favorite things is when people, I love hearing the kind of what we do, because it's hard for the folks in the program to be like, I don't know if this works. I'm like, well, how did you get here? And they're like, well, and then they describe exactly what I'm teaching you guys to do. It's like, okay, that always That's helps. Right. And you're like, okay, I got to see it work in a very, or feel it work, more importantly, in kind of an organic way. So let's talk employees. And for those of you guys that came for the title, which Tracy, our amazing copywriter, wrote, Bob and Terry's Filthy Little Secret to locking in clean profits. We love that, because if you, again, for those of you who can't see, Bob and Terry are like the sweetest, nicest. If you could picture the filthiest couple in the world and then just reverse it, you're gonna get Bob and Terry. They're just such sweet, the least filthy people ever.
Good answer.
Yeah, well, I gotta call like I see it. There's some sketchy folks in, you know, in the group. I won't say whom, but it ain't you guys. And honestly, that profit is, and I think they're at you know, obviously the business has been a while. They're at a kind of a good state. How many employees do you guys have, just to give everyone a heads up about where you're at?
55 right now.
Yeah. So once you get to that kind of 30, 40 thing, even in commercial, it can be as low as 20. I don't say we stop competing for clients, because that's still important, but the real secret to profit becomes our ability to get the best talent excited and on board to create the result that we promise our clients. That's the secret, right? So I wanted to make sure that we talk about that. Tracy says, LOL, you are super sweet with like five U's. So I think that was to you guys, because I know it wasn't to me. Sean says, way to backpedal. How dare you? You're a Canadian. You don't even get a vote in this conversation, sir. He's one of our coaches, so I can talk crap about Sean. Okay. So yeah, walk us through that. When you kind of got in, I mean, first of all, that's a, you know, there's kind of our employee hiring, onboarding, training, encouraging is kind of red, yellow, green. If we're talking about thieving and stealing and that sort of stuff, we're deep into the red. How did that kind of feel, A, as people, right? Because I don't know about you guys, but it always hurts my feelings, right? I love the people that work with me. And I couldn't imagine Sean or anyone like just stealing from, it was insane. So how did that, and by the way, Jason Johnson's on the call and he says he's talking about me. He is the shady person in our group. I told you guys I want to connect you. He's one of our millionaire masterminds. So Jason, this is them. You should connect. So what did that, there's two parts of it, really kind of how it feels, right? Because as an owner, we're trying so hard to create something special, right? That we can see in our head, and it's just so hard to make it, to manifest in the world. And then two, we just have feelings of like, wow, that really was a kick in the teeth. We're trying so hard to help and you guys are just crapping all over that. And the second piece is, how did that affect like money and growth and like all, you know, like kind of the, I don't say the real stuff, but the hard numbers piece of it.
Yeah, it was tough. When we purchased the company, I mean, it was, they couldn't cash paychecks, you know, they had to keep them. They couldn't pay their suppliers. I mean, if our lawyer and our accountant both said, no, don't do this. And, you know, it was my mother. She was the owner. They're a woman-owned business. So
does she know how to listen to podcasts? Because this might not be.
Yeah, no, okay, hopefully good. Not.
Let's not teach her. This is the usual, like, oh, share this with your friends and your family. Maybe not this particular episode.
Yeah. And there were some other family members involved in the business as well. So it was tough to all, you know, we purchased it. They kind of they had mentally checked out many years before, and they'll admit that, you know, that, so they kind of put, you know, things into other people's hands that probably weren't the most trustful. And it, yeah, so when we purchased it, there was a huge amount of debt. There was, yeah, it was a tough undertaking. It was like, it was stressful. Yeah, and sad, because I thought, you know, my parents did treat their employees as family. They in fact, one of the people that they called, they considered a, like a son they never had, was one of the big instigators behind all the, yeah, I just, so we fired him.
Was it Bob? Because he's the son they now do have, and I heard he was sitting on, right? I heard he was sitting on a supervisor, which is really shady right out of the bat. So
yeah, I mean, it, we were, you know, I, of course, because I'd grown up in the industry, was like, no way, no way, no way. And he was like, no, I think we can, we should give this a go. I think we can do this. And
I said, like, it had good bones.
Yeah. and it did. I mean, he was great. We just came in and just, you know, started getting rid of people. And
I got a reputation for just firing. In fact, we had a couple schools, and we would show up and they were working. I'm like, they're supposed to be here working. Why are the lights all off? I'd come back in a half hour, come back an hour. All of a sudden I finally knock and they answer the door. Like, oh, we were working with the lights off to try and save the school money. Yeah. Well, no, they're not. I ended up, before it was over, I fired the whole crew in one night. Now, the good news is, when you do that and you do take kind of a positive action, the problem people start to run scared. And then the good people, all of a sudden, who didn't know who we were, they were reaching out to us. How can we help?
Yeah.
So when I fired everyone in the school, I thought, well, I'm going to be here all night. I'm just going to clean it myself.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I'm getting phone calls with people speaking broken English to me, saying they want to come over and help. They'll be right there, because they heard already through the grapevine, and I wasn't announcing it. And so there's a lot of good people. And, you know, anyway.
Yeah. I mean, they're, that's when you really find out who are the loyal, you know.
Right.
Employees, though.
Who your rock stars are.
Yeah, we have a lot of those now, so we're very thankful.
And that's really the power of culture is, yeah, because often you guys are so blessed, or your parents set something up well, that, you know, that seed of the culture was still there. Because oftentimes when I hear lying and cheating, that sickness or disease will run through the business. And oftentimes the good employees aren't going to tolerate that. So they leave, right? They're, if right. Especially when the owners are checked out, they feel like,
yep,
I can't, I'm not appreciated here. So to the people that stayed weren't just good. They were, I mean, it's like you didn't have any five employees. You had zeros and you had 12. So it seems like there was, I mean, that's a huge chasm. So
right.
Go ahead.
When we bought it, though, it was 115 or 120 employees when we bought it. So what we did is, when we got rid of all the bad ones and all the good ones, we made full time, which there's a double-edged sword there, obviously. But anyway.
So it sounds like when you bought it, you had 50 good employees, and now you've got 50 good employees. There was just 120 people paying their paycheck hanging out.
Kind of,
just like when you're like, yeah, we've been married 38 years, and Terry says, yep, 25 happy years. We've been
That's right.
25 and a half.
All right, give him the benefit, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
So how does that, because I know a lot of people have that fear, and I'm sure you had the fear. You weren't looking forward to, well, I guess I'll just be cleaning till the sun comes up by myself. I'm assuming this is a 2 or 3 or 4 person job. That wasn't fun. That's scary, right? You take on a company with 120 employees. There's a lot of culture, because for the folks listening out there, most haven't bought a business, but many are in a place where the culture that they've got isn't the one that they want. And there's just a lot of fear around, I can't fire this guy, he'll tell that guy, everybody will quit. You had to have, you know, and if that's how they feel with 10 or 15 people, it can't be better with 110 people. It's got to be more pressure. Yeah. So how'd you deal with that?
Yeah, it was stressful. But I guess I kind of dove in, figuring it had to be done, you know. And
we didn't have a choice.
Yeah, it was just, it had to make it work. I mean, that was just, you know, maybe I was too dumb to know any different. I don't know. You know, maybe, you know, just had to make it happen is my thinking. There was just a lot of variables and things that we had to deal with. But you're right. It was, there was times when I had to show up at a school and I knew someone was a problem. I just didn't know them personally and how bad the problem would escalate. So sometimes I've had her sit in the car and I said, well, when I'm up there, if somehow something goes down weird, do not come, just call 911 and we'll move on. We'll just figure it out. I had to fire someone else. I had to, you know, do some other things that were, you know, like that. And it's kind of,
it wasn't
weird.
Easy. Let's put it that way.
It took us about
a couple of years.
Yeah, at least 3 years probably to really weed out all the problems. Cause there was like the ghost employee thing. I really was shocked about that. I mean, maybe we were naive when we got into this. Maybe that was it. Maybe I'm too trusting. But when we couldn't figure out why we were bleeding so bad at financially and profitability at some of these accounts, it was a good account. Doesn't even make sense. And so she actually went and said, I'm going to pass out payroll checks instead of giving them to the supervisor. And all of a sudden there's a name with a check and there's no body. And he says, oh yeah, that's my cousin. He worked for us 4 or 5 months ago and I kept him on the payroll. And he puts his head down. I'm like, are you kidding me? Really? This is, yeah. So those are the ghost employees we had to get rid of.
I mean, ghost employees, the nice word, embezzlement and jail time would be right. A more appropriate categorization of that. So one observation I want to give for all you listening, and this is certainly not coaching, it's just something I've noticed in my life and in Bob and Terry's life, and it's a theme. When I bought my business, and I don't know your exact financial situation, but I'm guessing it's similar. I gave everything. I was younger, so maybe you didn't give everything you had, but I gave everything I had, and I borrowed 6 times, 7 times that, more than it ever had. So when I bought it, there's only like 4 employees or something. But they all quit on the first day. And had there been an option out, I would have taken that option out, right? I'd like to go, well, guys, I'm just a hard worker and strong mental. That would be just, couldn't be more further from the truth. It was, I guess it's 5:01 PM. You know, they quit at like 8 a.m. It was 5:00 that night. My wife and I just started clean. And just like you said, 120 employees, we now have 50 working more. Well, of the work the 4 employees would have done, we just did it until 4 a.m, took a nap and then got going. So again, not something in coach, but just I want you guys to be aware because we can do it in a less painful way. So that going all in has something to do with it, right? I don't know if you said this, but you can tell me if you feel this is the truth in your area. When all this stuff happened, I'm guessing there were many times where had I given you that magic wand and go, you wave it and it's all undone. You can go back. You'd have been waving that son of a gun like that.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. And again, obviously, I shouldn't say obviously, but it sounds like now that's not the case. You're very glad that you put in the effort and the sacrifice. And obviously you might've done things different, but you wouldn't have undone the whole thing. Is that fair?
Correct. Right. Yep. Yeah. We learned a lot through sometimes getting thrown into the fire and by, you know, just making mistakes, you know, falling down, but remembering you just got to keep getting back up and you'll get through it.
Best way to learn, by the way, is making mistakes. Well, best way to learn is learning from someone else's mistakes.
Well, yes.
Second best is making mistakes. The worst is to sit still and do nothing and screw nothing up and learn nothing. all right. I could talk to you guys forever, but I don't want to go too much. And we're going to talk here in 30 minutes. So I'm excited to, we'll recap. We'll tell everyone how great you were. I don't mind lying. Just totally kidding. So clean, now that you're part of the group, give us, I always want to kind of squeeze down for Cleaning Nation, kind of the best, the stuff that, so give us the best and the worst, the thing that I asked you to do or that you either didn't do or didn't work or was just like, whatever you're afraid of or didn't, you know, is the worst piece of it. And then kind of the quickest, easiest, like, oh my gosh, this was the best. So people can kind of learn from the highlights of it.
Well, I have to say
definitely that definitely a married couple. They're like they're doing some sort of mind melt thing.
Like I have to say that through this course that we have had so many. If we would have had this 12 years ago, that would have been wonderful because we have had so many of those aha moments. You know, where it's like, well, yeah, of course. Why did it take us 12 years to figure that out or hear that or learn it or whatever. So, you know, that has been great. And I think the biggest thing was the core values. Well, I don't know why that was just such a light, you know, we have, you know, very strong values and stuff, and realizing that, like, those employees that we had, and even our, some of our accounts and people that we have that there's been problems, and we've looked back, and after doing that module, we looked back and went, well, of course,
right?
That's why there were problems. That's why, you know, we lost that account, or why we gave up that account. You know, it was just, you know, a struggle. And yeah, so anyway.
Right. Or even our employees, how many problems I would meet with them. I would, you know, retrain them. I would get them to, but I was getting to try and think like my core values.
You can't teach integrity.
It just didn't work out. It just frustrated me and probably frustrated them. I didn't talk to them, but eventually they either left or I had to terminate them. You know, sadly, I don't like having to terminate anybody because I kind of look at that as a personal failure. But now I'm kind of looking at it a little differently. Maybe we just weren't a good fit and I got to move on.
Yeah, for those of you guys, gals listening and writing stuff down or taking notes, that would be that's a big, I'm so glad that you said that, Robert, because I think we can kind of let Cleaning Nation have a collective sigh of relief in that it's absolutely not a personal failure when you fire someone. Certainly as leaders, if we have someone that is a good core values fit and they're really doing their best and we violate our own core values and that offends them or that repels them and they leave, definitely we need to have some introspection there, right? That's a problem. And if we hire someone that's not a good core values fit, you know, they talk about real estate, you know, the money's when you buy, not when you sell. The problem wasn't when you fired them. It was when you hired them. And obviously if you're like, we just got here, there's 120 people. What are you talking about? That's not me. Couldn't agree more, but we don't want to kind of throw good time or money after bad. So if we make a bad hire, it can be, especially for us guys, I think a little, that ego gets in the way of like, I can solve it. I can fix it. Maybe it's not impossible, but there's just so many better times to invest so many ways to invest your time that are going to get a better return on that investment of let's find people that already believe what we believe and blow some wind into their sails, as opposed to just fighting and arm wrestling. And just like Terry said, you might be able to train integrity. I don't know how. And I'm guessing for those who do, it's very expensive and takes a very long time. It isn't a good business model. Right. Quick side note to kind of some of the listeners out there, and then I'll let you guys finish with the last word. Some of my favorite clients, by the way, favorite, probably the ones that are working all day, every day and need help getting out. Those are my favorite because it's great helping you go from 60 hours making no money to 20 hours making lots of money. Second favorite is probably guys and gals just bought a business. You were killing me. The only thing made me feel better, we weren't doing this 12 years ago. I think we were only doing this 6 years. So it made me feel better. Like, okay, it wasn't that my marketing wasn't good enough to find them. I wasn't out. I didn't know what I was doing back then. It's okay. But, you know, I hear people that bought it 2, 3, 4 years ago, went through all this headache. I'm like, oh, I take that personally. Like, I should have done a better job reaching out to this community and serving them. So if that's you, growmycleaningcompany.com is all the resources we have. Check it out. Okay. So it sounds like what I'm hearing from you guys, and I like the position you're in, because a lot of times people are like, just tell me how to get customers, or just tell me how to run a group interview. And those are all important. I'm not negating them, but they kind of want to skip over what I find to be the foundational stuff of the core values. And I love how you said it, Terry. You're like, the customers that we lost because, and it's like, I can help you get new customers that are bad fits and constantly churn and burn, but not only is that expensive, it is frustrating. It's all get out. Yeah. I'd rather get one client that sticks for 10, 20 years. And I know you guys have got some of those, or longer actually, than just that revolving door thing. So I love that you get the connection between, a lot of people kind of find like, oh, core values and culture, that's like a soft skill. Like, it's not important, like getting clients. And it's like, no, that is a much bigger lever on your life and how happy you are with your business or not, that I think people get. And money-wise, I will take a good culture. Yeah, really, that's what I heard you saying. Obviously, the systems and stuff suck. That's probably why it took 3 or 4 years. But the culture is what ate your lunch. If you had a good team with a good culture that was all going the right direction, you could have had those systems sort out in 3 months, 6 months, right? But the culture, that's a disease, man. It takes years to get it. You know, you get a 10-person team, you can get that sorted out in 3 to 6 months. You get a 100-person team, it can take years. So, all right, that's the good stuff. Let's have the bad stuff. What was the hardest thing I asked you to do? The thing you did fight me on, or you are fighting me on, or if you could shake your fist and go, no, Mike, I don't like it. I won't do it. You can't make me. What would that be?
Probably. And I understand the concept, but for whatever reason, I still focusing on a niche. I get the concept. I get why we would want to focus all our energy just into that one niche. But for some reason, I keep making excuses. Well, what if, or what, you know, and I'm not, and I get it, but I guess I get it, but I'm having trouble completely applying it.
I think it's because we have some of everything. So it's like,
right. So I even justify it and say, well, we have enough customer base that I guess we just have multiple niches. Well, I'm not sure I think I'm giving myself a free pass and I'm not sure I should be. So
first of all, people listening, guys, gals, this is what coachability looks like, right? I love that. A, you're being honest and transparent. It's easy to go, absolutely, boss, niches, I'm on it, and go, in your mind, you know, between the two, I'm not doing that. Okay, you've tricked me, but it's for your business. I don't get paid on the niches you do or don't have. It doesn't affect me. So I love the honesty and transparency, first with me, but more importantly with yourself. I love that you're like, I get it in my head. I get it. My heart, I won't, my legs, it hasn't made it down to my feet where I actually go to, you know, yeah, through right. the heart into the feet. So I'm going to leave a quick cliffhanger for everyone not here, and then we'll talk to you guys. I would love to chat. I know we're going to meet here in about a half hour for our weekly elite meeting. I would love to chat with you on that because I think it'll bring value to that group, but it's a longer conversation than we can have here. I had something else to say, and that is very common, by the way. That is probably the biggest pushback I get in terms of people don't get the, if I limit who I'm going to sell to, I'll actually grow faster because common sense would tell you the more people I can sell to, the faster I'll go. So you could beat yourself up a little, not a lot. That's a good one. all right, Clean Nation, that was a really good one. We might have to have these guys again because I feel like we've got a whole nother episode, but I don't want to go too long on this one. I'm going to let you guys finish it out. I'll let each of you give one, the most value you can give to Clean Nation in 22 seconds about life, love, and business. And don't look at each other. You each get to go. So you only get to look at each other. Who goes first? we'll go ladies first. She's like, I was kind of hoping Bob would talk so I could think. All right, we'll go fellas first and let the ladies think. Bob, yeah, what you got?
Go ahead.
Just never give up. Just never beat yourself up so bad that you can't get up off the floor and say, well, and be humble enough to say that, you know what, I can learn from my own mistakes. Obviously, like you said earlier, learning from someone else's mistakes is better, but you just got to push through it sometimes. And don't get so caught up. And I know not everybody does this, but sometimes what they call that, analysis paralysis. I'm guilty of that myself. And I don't let that, you know, give yourself time to, you know, do your due diligence, but don't let that overcome your decision because no decision is a decision.
You got a freebie, Clean Nation. I heard two. One is don't give up, and that's a writer downer, kids. That is, if I could pick one thing in a client, they're like, okay, you can only pick one thing. Not, you could be money or success or experience or systems or charm or education. But you only get one, and this guy's got to succeed or this gal's got to succeed. I would take, never give up. I'll take a dumb, ugly, poor, uneducated, can't think of what other we could stack against you, person.
That's me.
Okay. That's why we took you. who just has that. You can kick me. You can do whatever you want to do, but at no point I will die at some point. We all do. Or I will continue and reach what I want. Those are the only two options. So that, guys, gals, that is from a guy that's coached thousands and kind of sees what works and what doesn't work. That would be number one. And then I couldn't agree more with that analysis by paralysis that in this, I suffer. I'm the same as you. I wish I could say I've got that lick, Bob, follow me. It's more like I struggle with that as well. So I know, right. I've never smoked, but if I did smoke, I could tell my kids what a nasty habit it is because I've actually done it. Right. I can go, I've done that. I've cost myself so much time and headache and just trying to make everything perfect. It's never perfect. You can't steer a parked car, get the daggum thing running. Even if you're in the right direction, at least you have something you can change. When you're just sitting still, there's nothing there. All right, Terry, I don't know how to give you more time than that, sister. Lots of pressure. Bob pretty much nailed it. So I don't know how you're following that, but you can try.
So ditto. Oh, yeah. No.
This is why the women are smart.
I think too, I know for both of us, change is hard. I don't know why, but course has really seen, I mean, we've really seen so many things we need to change. And so it's really kind of out of our comfort zone, but so necessary to change if we want to grow. And you know, and there was something else I was going to say, but it's left my mind. But
that, honestly, Terry, that's a really good one because it's one of those things. It's like, yeah, obviously, but then no one does it. So yeah. You got to change if you want to grow. And people go, well, that just Yeah, and the sun's yellow. Like, we all kind of get common facts, but then people go out and don't change and expect things to be different. So we're like, it's Robbie. It gets in his head, but it doesn't ever make it to our heart, you know, and then we just do the same thing. So, wow. Yeah, and people are going nuts on this in the chat. They're digging what you guys are saying. So let me sum it up and we'll call it the big words of wisdom I've got from these guys are culture, culture, culture. Once you've got that, and you really have a great story of a tale of two cultures, right? The people lying, cheating, stealing, and what that felt like and looked like. And then the sweet people that didn't even know you going like, hey guys, I heard that you're having trouble. How can we help? Like, as bad as the one felt, I'm sure the other felt like salve on the wound, right? Like, that must have just been water in the desert. That's first. Second, never give up. Third, I'm not going to decide. I'm going to put off a decision until later. Okay, that's a decision. Well said. Like, you have decided. It may not be the decision you want, but that's a decision. And then if you want something different, you can't do the same things. That's crazy talk. Like, it ain't going to work. Great. Yeah, that's it. I don't know if we can get any better than that. We're going to call it. All right, Cleaning Nation. Bobby, what's the name of your company in case people want to stalk you? And they will.
Oh, great. Tenacious Cleaning Services.
Yeah, we'll talk about that other thing later too. We call them Tenacious D in the class. And look that up for all you kids that don't have no idea what I'm talking about. All right, Cleaning Nation. Great to see you. Hopefully you got some value. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks for tuning in to today's show. If you're fired up, ready to grow, and want to see if you have what it takes to work with us at Grow My Cleaning Company, here's what I want you to do right now. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. That's growmycleaningcompany.com/talk to book an appointment to speak with me personally. I'm going to jump on the phone with you to get you crystal clear on where you are now, where you want to be, and how to get you there. Don't walk around in the dark any longer. If you are serious about growing your cleaning company, it's time to finally get the systems in place that you need to grow. We've helped hundreds of owners of cleaning companies not only grow their business and their personal freedom, but give back to their community as well. If that's what you're looking for, head over to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk and book a time to talk with me personally. I can't wait to get to know you and your business.